Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. Of course, you know that First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are now having in-person service. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of the services at First Baptist. Our services start each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. 10 a.m., you can come and be a part of the service of First Baptist of Holly Springs. We invite you to go to our Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and then share. On the Facebook page, you'll find more information about First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll be able to see our Sunday morning service on the Facebook page. We go live every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. on Facebook Live. You can watch the Sunday morning service of First Baptist of Holly Springs. Also, you will find the Bible study link and the call-in number each week for the Bible study, which you're listening to right now. If you would like to hear the Bible study over the internet, there is a link that you can click on and you can hear the Bible study over the internet. If you would like to call in and be a part of the Bible study, you can do so. The phone number is area code 845-241-9839, area code 845-241-9839. You can call that number and you can participate in the Bible study tonight. We thank you for being a part of the Bible study. We thank all of you who have been great supporters of Holly Springs. Now, there are three ways in which you can give to the house of God. You can actually come to church on Sunday morning and bring your tithes and offering with you on Sunday morning. Or you can stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30 and drop off your tithes offering. The trustees are there to make sure that your financial needs are met. You can also mail in your offerings and your tithes to the church. Go to the Facebook page and find the correct mailing address for that. Also, we do have a Cash App. You can use the Cash App. It starts with the dollar sign, of course, and the letters FBCHS. FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can use the Cash App, and you can be a supporter of the House of God tonight. So we thank God for all of you who are supporting the church. We thank God for you who like to do so, whether you are in the listening, whether you will hear this Bible study long after it's been recorded, because we invite you to be a part of First Baptist by giving to First Baptist, and you can do so with the Cash App. Start with the dollar sign, the letters FBCHS, FBCHS, that stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the House of God tonight. Of course, we invite you to be with us each Sunday as we continue to serve the Lord. This coming Sunday is Breast Cancer Awareness Sunday. We are asking those of you who can wear pink, something pink, that will show your support for breast cancer. So we are on the move at First Baptist. Now, let me just say this. If you're intending on coming to the services at First Baptist, I do have to let you know ahead of time that we do take temperatures at the door. We do ask that you wear your face covering, and we do practice social distancing. So beware of that, but you are cordially invited to come and be a part of the service at First Baptist. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for another Bible study night. We thank you for those who are on the line, those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this Bible study long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go into our lesson tonight, for clarity, those who are hearing this lesson will understand the words that are being presented to you tonight. We thank you, God, for those who are on the line. We pray now, God, that as we go through our lesson, Father, you will enlighten our hearts, give us understanding of your words. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Our lesson tonight is entitled Alpha and Omega. Alpha and Omega. It's taken from the book of Revelations, Revelation 22. We're going to start in verse 10 and work our way down to verse 21. Revelation 22, starting in verse 10 down to 21. Revelation 22, verse 10. Lesson tonight is entitled Alpha and Omega. In this week's lesson, Jesus declared himself to be Alpha and Omega, citing the span between the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet to symbolize that he is sovereign over all things and that he is complete within himself. And he needs nothing from any source. Jesus has already existed, but he created time and came as our Savior. Someday he will come at the end of time. He will come, and it will be the beginning of the end. And when he returns, he will bring his rewards with him. The book of Revelation reveals that John saw a vision while he was isolated on the Isle of Patmos. He was isolated there for preaching the gospel. As chapter 22 opens, John introduces us to a river of life, then the tree of life, and the blessings they both provide to the believers who inhabit the New Jerusalem. He writes that believers will see God's face and carry his name. His mark of identification is on their foreheads. You'll see that in Revelation 22, 4, and 5. Jesus then told John that everything he had seen in his vision was true and faithful, or could be counted on. Verses 8 through 9 tell us that John attempted to bow before the angel who was showing him the New Jerusalem. But the angel told John not to bow to him because he couldn't or he did not deserve worship. John needed to bow to God. This is where our lesson begins. So when we get down to the 10th verse in Revelation 22, when we get down to that 10th verse, it says, "And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand." As the angel continued to speak to John, he said to him, "Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book." The angel to John to leave the book of prophecy that he has given him open so that it can be read by all. As we read the prophecies in Revelation, it is important for us to understand it and compare the prophecy with the current events. Here, God deals freely and openly with everyone. He does not allow the word of the prophecy of this book to be sealed or closed to mankind. You see, by leaving the prophecy open to all, God is, in essence, calling everyone to witness to the declaration made in this book. Because, as the angel continued to say, for the time is at hand. In other words, the time at hand or near. This does not mean that the prophecies of Revelation would not come to pass immediately after they are still yet to be fulfilled. God is not limited to time, so the words at hand could refer to any amount of time. Therefore, we must also always be ready for the return of the Lord. As the Apostle Paul said, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." You'll find that in 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 and 2. When we go down to the 11th verse, it says, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." This seems to indicate the effect of this book, kept open, will have upon mankind. After reading the prophecy of this book, those who are still unjust should remain unjust, and those who are still filthy will remain filthy. But the prophecy will further condemn and confirm and strengthen and sanctify those who are righteous. Those who are righteous are those who are upright with God and are holy. For anyone who reads the prophecy of Revelation will be a savior of life to some and a savior of death to others. This is why this lesson is so important, because what he is saying here is that when the time comes, those who are just unjust, they're going to remain unjust. There will be some people who will never change their act. There will always be filthy people in the world. They will never change their act. Can a tiger change his stripes? No. So some people will never come to Christ. Some people will never acknowledge God. But that's all right, because he says those who are righteous, let them continue to be right. Who are holy, let them continue to be holy, because the day will come when the separation will take place. That's why in verse 12 it says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." Jesus repeats what he said in verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." And in verse 10, Jesus also said, "The time is at hand." Now, this does not mean that Jesus is going to return right after John finished writing the letter. What it means is that once the end time starts, Jesus will come quickly, taking everyone by surprise behind after the church has been caught up. Now, if you want to read about that, go to Matthew 24, verses 32 through 34. Also, Matthew 24, 36 through 39, Matthew 24, 42 through 44. Then Jesus said, when he returns, "My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." The word reward means whatever is due. This means that Jesus' reward can either be favorable or unfavorable. In other words, Jesus will deal with every person according to their deeds or the things they have done concerning others. He will bring rewards for believers based on their works. It's true that salvation is a free gift. It is not by works, but believers' works or deeds will be tested to see which have lasting back and therefore worthy of a favorable reward. This is what is meant by "according as his works shall be." Simply put, those who have been changed by faith in Christ Jesus will be rewarded. And those still bound in sin and unbelief will suffer his judgment in the lake of fire and brimstone, according to Revelation 21 and 8. The truth is, the life that believers live is far more than enjoyment. It is to serve God and others. You remember in Luke 10 and 25 through 28, a young lawyer asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "What does the law say?" The lawyer answered, saying, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." And Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you shall." That was not the answer that he was looking for. But nevertheless, Jesus gave him the answer that he needed. In verse 13, this verse says, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last." In Revelations 1 and 8 and Revelation 21 and 6, God the Father is identified as Alpha and Omega, which are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Now, in this verse, Jesus Christ describes himself in the same way while giving the meaning of the words Alpha and Omega as the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Since John 10 and 30 says that the Father and the Son are one, it shouldn't surprise anyone that both the Father and the Son are identified as Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. God the Father and Jesus the Son are both equal in eternal existence. And Jesus is everything that the Father is, according to John 14, 9 through 11. Just like the Father, Jesus is sovereign forever. so and omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Simply put, there was nothing before him, there will be nothing after him. He is the beginning, and he is the end. In verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. You see, in these previous verses, Jesus was the speaker. But in this verse, the speaker refers to his commandments. This seems to indicate that the speaker has changed from Jesus to either John or the angel who was showing John this vision. The one speaking now says that those who obey God's commandments are not only blessed, but they also have a right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. The word right, have a right, means you have an authority or you have a privilege. Because of the blood of Christ, the redeemed of all ages will have the authority or the privilege to enter the holy city of the New Jerusalem, open gates. According to Revelation 22:2, the tree of life is in the middle of New Jerusalem on both sides of the river of life, and it bears a different fruit in each of the 12 months. The redeemed will also have access to the health-giving properties of the tree of life. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody that there will be a real tree of life bearing real fruit to keep us healthy in New Jerusalem. This may all be symbolic. But until God shows us differently, I believe exactly what John has written here. And sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Whether the speaker here is still the angel or John, we are told that without or outside of the New Jerusalem, there are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. The term here, dogs, are extremely offensive description for people because dogs come to the slums of the city and because the symbol of uncleanliness and impurity. We find that in 2 Samuel 8. In this letter to the Philippians church, the Apostle Paul referred to evil workers and those who taught Judaism as dogs and sorcerers. Right after that, not too long ago, a preacher had a real famous sermon called Watch Them Dogs. He was talking about the dogs, those folks who are loose and running through the church. Whoremongers, those who were practicing sorcery, witchcraft, whoremongers who practiced prostitution. But the word was often used to refer to any sexual immoral person in general. Although we use this word murderers to refer to those who purposely take someone's life, the Bible also says that the attitude of hatred is murder. Let me say that again. Although refer to this term murderer as someone who purposely takes someone's life, the Bible also says that the attitude of hatred is murder. In 1 John 3:15, it says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That's what the Bible says. 1 John 3:15. The word idolatrous in this verse refers to those who worship any other person or any other thing other than Jehovah God. The phrase, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, refers to those who habitually engage in lying. And deceit, we've seen a lot of that, particularly in our political stage. These people have practiced lying. They are excellent in their lies. All of these behaviors listed here are unrepresented unbelievers and are excluded from the city and its blessing. They are condemned at the judgment of the great white throne and cast into a lake of fire. Read Revelation 20:11-15, because the time for repentance will be past. There will come a time, beloved. I've said it many times before. There will come a time when God will get sick and tired of our mess. And when that time comes, the time for repentance will be over. In verse 16, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. There is no doubt as to who the speaker is in this verse. He says, I, Jesus, revealing that the Lord himself is once again speaking and expressing his authority. He says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Jesus was saying that he has sent an angel, one that has showing us John around the New Jerusalem, to John to tell the churches all these things, these words, including everything that John had witnessed in his vision. Jesus also said, I am the root and the offspring of David. Declaring himself this way, Jesus has declared that he was Israel's promised Messiah. There is no doubt that Jesus is the offspring or the descendant of David. But he is much more than a descendant of David. He is also David's creator and his Lord. While Jesus is David's heir, the heir to the throne of human level, he is also the eternal God. In addition to being the root and the offspring of David, the Lord also refers to himself as the bright and morning star. The morning star is the brightest this time of night, and according to astronomy, it signals a new day. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament hope for Messiah, and he comes at a dark period in Israel's history. He will also return at the darkest moment in human history. In verse 17, this verse says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that athirst come. Whosoever will, let them take the water of life freely. You see, this verse is an invitation. This is an invitation to him that is athirst or in need of salvation. Two invitations are given here. With the first invitation, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Come, of course. The Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit, and the bride refers to the church. And they together offer the invitation to come. During the present of the church age, and even today, before the church service is over, we always open the doors to this. We always say, come. Give your life to Christ. Anyone who has responded to the Spirit's call and become a member of the body of Christ must now extend this invitation to others. This includes all of us who are saved. We, the redeemed, we have the spiritual thirst quenched by the living water, and we must invite others to take that water of life freely. The second invitation to come is given by him that heareth. This could refer to an unbeliever who has answered the invitation and is urging others to join him or her. Again, the urgent call to take the water of life freely is offered to everyone or anyone who deserves to be saved. This water of life is the eternal life that Jesus gives. We find that in John 13 through 14. He gives it freely, without cost, to everyone who thirsts for it. It should be noted here that the key to this living water, person must be thirsty or have a yearning for it. Jesus can do nothing for those who are not thirsting for salvation. So you first have to want it. You first have to need it. You first have to have a need in your life for it. If you never have that need, then you will never seek it, and it will never come to you. In verse 18, for I testify unto every man that heareth the word of the prophecy of this book, If any man shall add to these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. As the revelation comes to a close, there is a strong warning not to tamper with the message revealed to John. The apostle said, for I testify unto every man that heareth the word of this prophecy of this book. In other words, the warning not to tamper with the message of this book is addressed to everyone that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. The warning is, if any man shall add anything to these words, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. There are similar warnings given elsewhere in Scripture not to add or take away from God's word. You'll find that in Deuteronomy 4 and 2. You'll find it in Deuteronomy 12, 32. Also, Proverbs 30, 5 and 6. The warning is especially for those things meaning the prophecy of this book or the words of Revelation. Anyone who will add unto these things, God shall add unto him or her the plagues that are written in this book. The plagues referred to here are probably those mentioned in Revelation 8 and 9, and especially Revelation chapter 16. God's word is the perfect and complete revelation that contains all we need to know for salvation. In his word, we find the record of the past, man's need for redemption, and the way of redemption in Christ. We also find the knowledge of future events and the combination of God's plan to change or to alter any of this revelation in any way is to hide essential information that we need. Most, if not all, of these words mean that we should keep them. For instance, all prescription drugs contain warning labels. Side effects caused by some drugs could cause injury or even death. If a warning label is tampered with, there may be serious consequences. In the same sense, changing the words of the Bible would be changing the message God inspired for mankind. Such a change could be spiritually fatal that we heed God's warning concerning the handling of his word and the dangers of willfully perverting its teaching. Omissions or leaving things out are just as wrong as additions. Teachers must be careful to present the pure, unadulterated, life-giving word of truth, since teachers have the greater accountability to God. And this is why so many churches are in disarray today, because the leaders and the teachers are not teaching the word of God. They're teaching their own concept of the word of God. Now, I have no doubt, or I'm not going to surmise, that these people are not saved or not trying to be saved. I'm simply saying that many times people have a tendency to add or take away actual sins. And when you do that, you can harm those who you're speaking to. You harm those who you're trying to lead toward the marvelous life. They will never seek the salvation if you don't give it to them the way it should be given. And so many times, I listen to it on the radio, I hear it on TV, Sunday after Sunday. I hear these preachers wailing and screaming, and they're saying all kind of things that are completely not true and not a part of the scripture. And because of that, the church is in a great array. A lot of folk are running away from the church, and a lot of people are confused in the church because the teaching is not proper. So let's go to verse 19. Verse 19, and if any man shall take away from the words of this book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. There is a warning against anyone who adds to the prophecy of Revelation. There's also a warning to anyone who shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy. The consequences for those who are guilty of this is that God shall take away his or her part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in the book. In other words, anyone who takes anything away from the passages of Revelation removes their chance for a place in the book of life, their place in the holy city, and all the promises and all the privileges that are written in that book. This doesn't mean that saved people will lose their salvation for adding or taking away from the revelation. The truth is that anyone who is truly saved won't add or take away from the real message of the book. Let me say that again. The truth is, those who are truly saved will not add, will not take away from the real message of the book. The people John's warnings are not condemned for their some minor or inintentional change in the text, but for having a defiant attitude that rejects the message that God has given. Because of this warning given at the end of Revelation, some people have been reluctant and even fearful to even try to interpret or understand this book of Revelation. The warning in verse 18 and 19 were not given to keep people away from the study of Revelation, but to remind them of the seriousness of tampering with God's word in general. Just as there is a warning for misusing God's word, there is also a blessing in pronouncing upon those who hear and keep God's word and use God's word in the right way, given as it is written. This is why God is Alpha and Omega. In Revelation 22 and 20, this verse says, "He which testified these things says, surely I will come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." The first part of this verse, "He which testified these things," is Jesus Christ, who is elsewhere called the faithful witness. You find that in Revelation 1 and 5. In the beginning of this book, what is written in is said to be the testimony of Jesus Christ. Even though angels brought the revelation to John, ultimately it is Jesus' message that they are sharing. Jesus can vouch for the message in the book because he is the faithful and true witness. As the one who testifies or witnesses to these things written in Revelation, Jesus declares, "Surely I come quickly." For the third time in chapter 22, Jesus says, "Surely I come quickly." This coming will be completely unexpected and sudden. In response to Jesus' words, "Surely I come quickly," John answered with a short saying, "Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." The word "amen" is a Hebrew expression for confirmation. It is a strong confirmation that what has been said is certain, what has been said is true and reliable. Simply put, amen is a term used to show agreement that what is said is the truth. When John said amen, he was agreeing with the Lord's promise to come quickly. John also says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus," indicating that he has hoping that Jesus would return soon. Verse 21, the final verse says, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen." John's last words to his, those of us who read it are a benediction of sorts. It's fitting that John declared the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ upon the readers, because it's only by the grace or unearned favor that anyone can escape the eternal doom of the lake of fire and brimstone and enter into the new Jerusalem that Jesus has prepared for us. You see, as believers, we are to love Christ's appearing or his coming. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy saying, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. For there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, should give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them that love his appearing." God's people should not only look for God's appearing, but we should also love his appearing. The Bible tells us to do both. This is a great, great lesson on Alpha and Omega. I'm going to open the lines. There may be someone who would like to speak on the lesson. Maybe you have some information that you would like to share about the lesson, or you may have something that you would like to add to the lesson. You may have something that you would like to say, or maybe part of the lesson that struck you in a particular way. We can do that tonight. So I'm going to go to the line. I'm going to call the area, and the last four digits of the phone number, you're not obligated to speak, but if you'd like to, you certainly can. All right? Let's go. Area code 919. Last four digits, 3447. Are you on the line? 919-3447.
Hey, Pastor, I was just listening in. I don't have anything to add. This is Deacon Fuller.
Okay, no problem. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. All right, let's go to 919. Last four digits, 1694. Are you on the line?
Good evening, Pastor Rogers.
Good evening. How are you?
All right. This is Deacon Taylor. I'm on the road once again. I've just arrived home, but praise God for Jesus, and thank God for this lesson tonight. Many of us don't know a lot about the book of Revelations because we're so afraid, but it what you pointed out tonight did or should let a lot of the listeners know there is a day and a time that there is a cutoff of when you can, you know, try to wait till the last moment to cry out to God for help and be saved and receive salvation. Am I correct?
Yes, that's what the Bible says.
Yes, sir. And that is you know, one of those pieces of information that a lot of people miss out, because in my lifetime I've always heard, as long as you got breath in your body and you call out to God to save you, you can be saved. And and that is true, but there is a certain time when that free salvation will be cut off, you know. And a lot of people really, really need to know that. And thank you for pointing that out tonight. And it was just a powerful lesson right there and Revelations. Thank you.
Thank you, Deacon Taylor. I think one of the lessons that teach that is that the bridegroom waiting for the bride are those who are waiting for the bridegroom to come. And the Bible said the five wise and five foolish. And when the bridegroom finally arrived, the Bible said they closed the door. That's what that means. Nobody else can come in. And I think that particular scripture points out that same concept, that there does come a time when the door will be closed, and there will be no entrance at that time. Thank you again. I'm going to come back. You have a question I'm going to come back to you with in just a minute.
Okay.
Area code 757, last four digits, 5803. Are you on the line?
Yes, sir, Pastor Rogers. I am here on the line. This is Sherry. And
evening,
I thank
Sherry.
You. This good evening. This is a very interesting book of the Bible, and I have read it before and studied through it before. But I think I more so have a question for you tonight. When you were saying that, and maybe I'm taking it too literal, but when you were saying that we should not add or take away any word, I did already know that. However, my question to you is, you know how sometimes you're trying to quote a Bible verse, you know, something from the Bible, and you may not necessarily say it in the exact way that the Bible says it. Is that saying that, you know, you could be taken out of the book if you kind of not intentionally add or take away, but you're not saying it in the exact way that the Bible says it?
No, it does not mean that you will be excluded. Mistakes can happen. People can misquote, and people can say things out of context or not remember the correct wording. But I think the scripture simply means those who willfully change those words. Those who change those words, there are a lot of reasons why people change words. They change words to persuade people to think a certain way. They change words to make people think a certain way, to act a certain way. I think what the scripture is talking about in this case is that when you change that word deliberately, not when you make a mistake in misquoting or not knowing the correct words to use. I think he's basically talking about those who deliberately go out of their way to misquote scripture and to use that scripture in ways that it should not be used, or to entice people to do things that they should not be doing, or to even give folks the idea that what they're doing is right when it's actually wrong. I think that's what that means. Does that answer your question?
It does. Thank you for clarifying that for me.
No problem. All right. Let's go to area code 609. Last four digits, 9126.
Hi, Pastor Rogers. I don't have anything to say. I'm just grateful for the clarification. I always find it very difficult when I'm reading Revelation to understand all the content. So I'm grateful for the clarification of that particular scripture and verses.
You're quite welcome. We're going to be doing more studies in the book of Revelation as we go on. But you're right. There are a lot of people who are confused about this book. And together, we're going to go through it. Amen?
Amen.
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 Let's see. Area code 910. Last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Good evening, everyone. I enjoyed the lesson on tonight. I was wanting to ask a question on the same thing as far as adding and taking away from the Bible. I thought about, I know it's being done now, but it was also being done in slavery time, wasn't it? The Bible was twisted, you know, a certain kind of way.
Oh, yeah. Actually, yeah.
But then
absolutely.
I know some people, you know, some people couldn't read back then, but then some could, but it still was being twisted in slavery time, from what I read.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. It was being used to make slaves more docile so that they would not revolt against their slave owners. So they used various scriptures of the Bible, like slaves obey your masters, and various other scriptures that they use. So yeah, that it was used widely the wrong way during that time. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought about when you were speaking on that. But I enjoyed the lesson and learned a lot. Thank you for the breakdown of the different verses in that chapter.
All right. I want to go back to Deacon Taylor. Are you still there, Deacon?
Yes, sir.
In this lesson, there was an invitation that says, come. This invitation has been extended to people for, I know, at least 1,000 years, maybe longer, to come unto Christ. Every Sunday we talk about coming unto Christ. Every church, every denomination that I can think of, they always say come. Come to Christ, those who come. Why is it that there are still those who are resisting the call?
Pastor Rogers. Before I answer that question, I would like to make one statement, please.
Go right ahead.
I thank God that our First Baptist deaconess was listening to this lesson tonight, and she gave the perfect example of how God's word has been twisted, added to, and taken away from. And that the example she said was slavery. I was racking my brain trying to think of a perfect example like that. I thank God for the spiritual awakeness that Deaconess Rainey has tonight. And I just thank God for her spirit and bringing that out. Answering your question. People for thousands of years, you know, they just like today, in biblical times, you had people who were, you know, you had the church side of the family, and you had the people that were still in the world, and people were still looking at the people who were in the world and in the streets was still looking at what the church family used to do, and then they look at the ones who actually did backslide and never repented and went back to Christ, and the thing is, like people say today, well, I can do that still in the streets. I can act one way 5 or 6 days a week, and I can act another way, and a lot of people are confused still to this day, are confused even with all this technology, information. People are still confused, but because of what they see, and not what they read, and not exactly what they hear. People are still hesitant because they don't want to be those backsliders that they see, and it's just like the scripture said, there will come a day when salvation will not be freely released. There will be a day when there's a break and people won't be saved anymore. They'll continue to be what they're going to be until the actual judgment day. I'm trying to think how many months did it take Noah to build his ark and telling people it's going to rain, you know, and until that day they laughed and played and drank and did what they wanted to do, and then when those clouds got darkened and that water went from just a little mud puddle to, hey, it's around our knees, and now we want to start knocking on the door, it was too late. People today still hesitate with that invitation to come. They was like, well, they still worry about what John and Alicia are gonna say. They still worried about my coworkers. They still worry about what my coworkers gonna say. How they gonna treat me if I change, you know? And then as far as the invitation goes, a lot of people, they always hear, come as you are. But they a lot of people really don't understand, but don't expect, I mean, come as you are, but expect to change. Or come as you are, but don't stay as you are. They just hear, come as you are, you know, and there may be some situations. This is just a hypothetical situation. You might have a older church crowd, and some newer people might be trying to come in and understand, and you don't have the older people taking the time to try to explain all those little things and why we don't wear this and that, the church, you know, when you can do better, and you know, and all those other little things that enter. See, a lot of people are looking at what's going on in church, and not about the whole picture of salvation. But see, if people see the whole picture of salvation, we wouldn't worry about all those little bitty things.
Amen. Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share? Deacon Fuller, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir. I'm still listening.
Lead us in prayer.
Okay. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for allowing us to have a wonderful Bible study this evening. We ask you that you bless every listener here, Lord, that you bless their families. And this go into extend into First Baptist and any other church that's represented, Lord, tonight, Lord. We ask you that you just go in as well and bless them as well, Lord. Something that be said tonight have been pricked someone's heart, Lord, to get a better understanding about your will and your way, and to let us better understand who you are. And Lord, I ask you tonight, Lord, to go into the hospitals and bless those who are sick, bless those who are incarcerated, bless those who are just being afflicted by the devil's work today, Lord. Lord, we just ask you that you just continue to bless us, and that these Bible study lessons get stronger and stronger, and that we have a better understanding of the Word.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Well, thank all of you tonight for being on the line. We will see you Sunday. Don't forget it's Breast Cancer Awareness Sunday. So we're going to have a great time with the Lord. You are cordially invited to come and be a part of our services. All right. Have a great night.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Thank you.
Good night.
I want you to know the call.